Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two anxious counselors that like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
And we believe laughter is the best medicine.
It is. It really
is. Oh, and wine. And wine. Also, it's good medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Happy May 4th.
It's
May the 4th be with you.
Not May 4th.
Oh.
Wait.
Happy April 22nd or 29th.
Did you?
I swear I've only had like literally two sips off this.
Did you really think it was May 4th?
I did, because you said that earlier.
No, I said May the 4th be with you.
I thought you said May the 4th be with you. I'm like, oh, it's May the 4th.
No, not at all.
See how impressionable I am?
Like a young babe.
Like a young babe in the woods.
Oh, man.
It's actually April 29th. I'm realizing that now.
It is. It's not May at all yet. We just went for a trail skate, and that was fun.
It wasn't really a trail. We were in the middle of the street going around the hood.
We road skated with the baby.
It was really nice, though, to get out, move, mm-hmm. skate, smell things.
Outdoor good things.
Smell the sounds of the city.
Smell the sounds.
If I had synesthesia, that's what it would be like.
Smelling the sounds of that car.
That's right. Did you smell the tree outside, though? It smells really lovely, actually.
Does. It looks lovely, too.
I just went to Robbery Mart, mm-hmm. Which I've only gone to twice in my life, tonight being the second time.
Was it a good experience?
It's always an interesting experience. It's like where all the tweakers shop. And
is that the little corner
place? Mm-hmm, the place right down the street. Yeah, I don't usually go there. No. They have the most like security cameras per square foot that I've ever seen in my entire life anywhere, including places back in California.
Can you blame them, though?
I mean, they're like every like foot all over the ceiling. It's like, you are not missing anything.
No. Well, what do you have to check in on?
I don't know. I think just what we just said is my biggest like development, that we just went skating. I got a new helmet. That's exciting.
It is shiny and you've already scuffed it.
Because my old helmet should have been thrown away a long, long time ago. It stopped providing any protection for my brain probably about 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, I'm still using my helmet from 8-9 years ago. It's right there.
Because that was a single-use one. My new one is a lifer, so it's multiple impact.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
Certified, so I won't need another helmet for the rest of my life.
That's good. We can headbutt now.
That's right.
Yeah. I had just seen a new...
Toro.
Oh, are we going to have a tourist party this year for our Mayans?
I feel like COVID is ruining my party plans yet again.
Like, we have to do something.
Something, yeah. It'll have to be kind of low key though, because I think we're moving back to phase two next week. Is my guess, based on the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Phase three was fun while we had it.
It was, yeah. I saw so many people. I went to Riverfront Park yesterday. Yeah, went to the shop setup down there, and I had a boba tea.
Oh, the spring farmers market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I saw a news article that I wanted to talk about. I saw that they are moving to banning menthol cigarettes.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I was wondering your thoughts on that.
I feel like menthol cigarettes in general has contributed to health disparities because mm-hmm. by and large, they were marketed to African-American individuals. And mm-hmm. it's basically you're smoking glass. I smoked a couple back in my smoking days, so they are very minty and enjoyable in that way. But even at the time, even as a teenager, I'm like, oh, I'm basically just smoking glass right now.
Flavored cigarettes, too. They're also getting rid of those, like flavored ones, mm-hmm. which they say like the LGBT population, low economic status, like all those groups, they say like research-wise.
I don't understand why cigarettes exist at all, to tell you the truth.
I agree. So that's my problem with this, is not so much that it's being banned.
Is it the brand name doesn't have the money to lobby for their needs?
Like
Marlboro?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it is discrimination that it's not just all cigarettes are gone. It's like you're targeting one group, yes, because of health disparities, but you're literally taking something away from one, in general, group of people.
Well, and it's going to benefit the other brands that are still around.
Yeah.
I mean, is it big cigarettes? Is it like big pharma? The big cigarette companies win.
Well, and I read an article that said that there was some worry that like they're still going to be sold. It's just not going to be legal. And it sets up people again in those lower socioeconomic statuses and minority populations to have more interactions with the police on something that is just targeting them.
The underground menthol market.
I could see it being a thing. Yeah.
They were deliciously minty.
I've never had partaken.
Thank goodness I quit smoking when I was 18 because I never would have been able to quit. I know it. So I'm just glad that I quit at a young age before my addiction was like super bad. Because it gets worse and then it's impossible at some point. It's like really almost impossible to quit if you keep smoking.
So that was really my only thing as I saw that and just wanted to know your thoughts.
That was my thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My two cents.
I think they should be banned altogether, but it's kind of a big.
I think it's a money thing.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I'm going to check my notes and see if I had any.
Cool.
Check-ins.
I do get to go first today, by the way.
Oh, I have a check-in. I mean, it's not really a check-in, but as soon as we can manage it, I have our next deeply disturbing field trip to go on.
I have a field trip for us too, by the way.
Okay. Mine's disturbingly sad.
I mean, okay.
But it also involves skating. So it's a fun combo that way. So we can get some exercise.
And be
think
sad.
About sad things and then skate again to skate it out.
Okay. Okay. The last time we did this, you took me on a trail skate and there was a lot of hills, like a lot of hills.
In my defense, I'd never skated on that trail before. It was one I wanted to check out. And didn't want to go alone. And so you were the victim that went with me.
My butt was on fire. It hurt so bad.
It was a lot of hills.
But then once you go far enough out, you have to get home.
That's the beauty. Yeah. It's like forced exercise.
Thank you for that. For kidnapping me and forcing me to have exercise with you.
No problem.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So my topic is actually a local-ish. Local for the region, Washington.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that we could do an outing for at some point.
I wonder if it's on my outing list.
Maybe. I didn't know about it, but we'll see if you did.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things.
Ooh. Okay.
On our deeply disturbing field trip list.
So do you know about Govan, Washington?
No.
You don't?
Tell me.
Okay, so here, real quick. That's a picture of the school.
I love that. I love old, creepy, abandoned things.
It's still there. That was from 1905.
Where is Govan, Washington? So I've never heard of that name in my life.
So it's out by, I'm trying to think here. I mean, like, past Reardon. You know that there's, that. I don't know. It's in the middle of the wheat fields out there. Grant County, I believe, out that direction. Why do you even ask me? You don't even know.
Well, I just expect people to keep naming towns until I'm like, I've heard of that one.
It's in central Washington state.
Okay, well, curious. I can visualize the middle of the state.
Yes, yes. It's near Wilbur. Okay, yeah, you don't even, okay.
Sorry, I know
what's
Ellensburg.
The point, that's too far. Too far. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Govan, was a town, and it was originally started kind of as a railway hub. Mm. So the railway went through there, and that was in 1889. A big agricultural hub in general, so a lot of granaries, that sort of thing, in Govan. I've never heard of Govan either prior to this.
It sounds pretty obscure, to be honest.
It is, kind of like Wilbur. But Wilbur exists.
Wilbur sounds obscure as well.
There's also, like, I think Elmira out there. It's pretty obscure. Okay, so it was, a small town, and it has a pretty tragic history of some big deaths that happened there. Mm. And this town now only has 2 people that live in it.
What?
2 people. Yes. So
they need to make babies.
I think it's a family.
Okay, well, they need to get on it.
Like, yeah.
Populate that town.
Well, I think the whole point is everyone moved out of that town for several different reasons, but populate that town.
I'm thinking Mars One again. We'll start sending in couples.
Some plants, some variation.
Some pods.
Seedlings, perhaps. I don't know if anybody would want to be there with all the ghost happenings that have been reported.
Tell me about the ghost happenings.
Shadowy figures have been seen by tourists who go into the schoolhouse. And other people have seen shadowy figures up on like the ridges of the wheat field. And the history of what makes this really creepy is that there were in 1902, there was a judge who lived in the town, Judge Lewis, and his wife, Penelope. They were murdered with an axe to death, bludgeoned to death with it. And it was suspected as robbery. And this is kind of it's like ghost towns in Washington. And you see this blurb, like axe murder that happened. And then less than a year later, a man named C.S. Thiens was killed by a masked gunman in the saloon there. Both of these murders are still unsolved, so they never found who killed them. And then there was a woman who lived on a farm, and her son went missing, and they found his body 8 years later in a field, and he had been killed. And
was he axe-murdered too?
It was 8 years had gone by, so they couldn't really say the reason.
I mean, wouldn't you say being axe murdered is like the epitome of people's nightmares?
Yeah, in like,
I mean,
small,
I'm always commenting
town.
You know, when the kids leave the door open, I'm like, you want us to all get axe murdered?
We're gonna be axe murdered.
Yes.
So, and it was labeled as the most brutal crime ever committed in the county, ever. It's still the way it's labeled. But I had a really hard time finding more information about that. And I'm going to share in just a minute, but I did dig up the actual like newspaper clipping from that time where it describes what happened in detail and like how they found everything.
And I love the way old journalists described things. It's so much better than now.
It's so detailed. And it like gives you shivers.
It's poetic.
Just listening
it's emotional.
It.
They're involved.
So involved. So these multiple murders were part of what, you know, made it really eerie there, but that really wasn't what drove people out. There was actually fires in 1904 and 1909 that destroyed a lot of businesses. And then in 1927, there was a huge fire that literally took out almost every building there. And most people said it wasn't salvageable. So that's why there's the school building left and there's a couple like garages that are left, old garages. So the schoolhouse is still there, and that's someplace that we could go and check out. And I think we should. It's like over an hour, 20 minutes.
I think we totally should.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Deeply disturbing road trip.
Yes. So, and then ultimately the town just kind of withered away as Highway 2 got put in, because that started taking traffic from the railway, and that was kind of their big thing.
That was like one of the terrible things about when highways started coming in is it killed out a lot of the small towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. You want to hear the article?
I do want to hear the article.
Okay. So the title of this article, and see like it's the actual clipping copy.
Love it.
It's labeled "A Horrible Murder." Dun dun. One of the most atrocious murders in the history of the state was committed near Elmira, Lincoln County, on or about the 19th. Judge J. Lewis and his wife, wealthy and well-known pioneers of the county, had their heads crushed in by an axe. The tragedy was not known until Sunday, as the aged couple lived alone and visitors to their home were infrequent. That's a hard sentence for me. The double murder appears to have been most deliberately planned and executed, and the object was undoubtedly, like, the objective was robbery. Judge Lewis lived on a ranch 4 miles southeast of Govan. He was 76 years old. His wife was 60. So, like, probably pretty easy to prey upon, you would imagine, with an axe. They had accumulated a fortune of around $30,000, a large part of was in cash. A bank account was kept at both Wilbur and Almira, but it was the habit of the judge to withdraw cash, sometimes as much as $2,000 at a time, and carry it home, where he loaned it out on mortgage security. So, like, people knew that he had money there.
He had money.
Mm-hmm. In the house, there was a safe, the combination of which could only be worked by Mrs. Lewis because of the age, and the judge had palsy in his hands, so it made it hard for him to open it. So she was the only one that could open the safe. It was standing open when police got there. It had not been forced. So the body of Lewis was found lying on the floor of the house with his head crushed.
They threatened them, probably, and told them to open the safe.
Yeah, so they probably threatened, which I don't see them, like, fighting that much to not give it to them. It was opened, and they killed them after the fact, is basically what everything looks like. So he was found inside the house. Miss Lewis was found near the barn outside, which with some other buildings stands about a quarter mile from the house, the path to it being like down a little gully. The struggle here was evident. There, right at the barn doors, there was blood splattered around, and the deadly work was finished around the side of the building, about 30 feet from the door. The fence on one side had blood splattered on it. So there was a lot of...
So that was very vicious.
Yeah.
I mean...
Very aggressive.
Axe attack is already vicious, but there was a lot of power put into it.
Yeah, it wasn't like I knocked you down and then hit you again. It was probably a pretty big struggle. The fence on one side that had the blood, there was snowy at the time. There was snow saturated with blood. A small stick that Miss Lewis was known to carry with her, like a walking stick, was found nearby and was bloodstained and was shattered to pieces.
Was it because she tried to beat the shit out of them?
They said she had evidently used this in her resistance.
Go, Mrs. Lewis.
Right? Like, shattered. Like, so...
Fuck them up.
Yeah. Get a few whacks in there. She had evidently used that in the resistance. After finishing the victim, the murderer partially covered the body with snow and threw loose hay over that again, and then more snow. So casual observer didn't see anything but a, like, heap. So that's why it took an extra couple of days for somebody to notice. Once the town found out, there was a lot of excitement around that because they were like, okay, we need to find who did this. Mm-hmm. This was back when the person probably could have been actually lynched for this. So there was a lot of big public outroar and go get him. And at this point, well, and still today, they never found who did it. On searching the premises, there was $925 in gold that was found in a rag fastened with a pin on a windowsill in the parlor, which was kind of interesting. So I don't know why that was sitting out, but it was, and it was left there.
They probably didn't know about it.
Yeah. Dr. Lewis, brother of Judge Lewis, had offered a reward of $500 for the apprehension of the murderer or murderers, and it's thought that an additional reward would be offered by the county and state. There was an unsigned will where the wife bequeathed her worldly possessions to the judge, and that was all found within the papers. So this article says an important question will arise in the award of the property to the heirs as to who died first in the tragedy, because that would depend who the money would go to as far as the heirs. And that's where the article ends.
Are they looking at the heirs as suspects, or did they?
No, not according to the article.
Here's what I think. I think it was somebody that they knew that attacked them, and that's why they had to kill them. Or they killed them because they were just psychopaths.
Which I don't, I mean, to me that, because they took the money. So
right,
to
so
me, money
leave,
was a motive.
But if they knew them, if they knew their attackers, then that would be a motive to kill, to protect their identity.
If it was family that knew that they had money there and were like.
Or someone from the next town over or whatnot.
Had to have been someone they knew.
Or if they got the money and they just killed him for thrills, then it's a different kind of suspect we're looking at.
So then, you know, that was less than or just about a week later where someone goes into the saloon and shoots. He wore a mask. No one knew who he was. Shot and killed somebody in the saloon, too. So we're thinking an
early serial killer?
Well, and then, you know, a year later is when they suppose that the son had been killed.
Somebody there was like needs a little, to connect the dots.
Yeah. So that's a string. And then there was the fires that, I mean, the fires took out all of the records for the town. And
was that determined to be arson?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, wildfires are pretty common out there. I mean, maybe. It was hard to find anything because it's been so, I think, glorified as a ghost town that it kind of, it's the pictures. Like you find the pictures of it all over the place, but actual content was hard. I did find a 50-page article which has the illustrated history of Grant County, and it's like the detailed trying to put pieces of history back together, but it's very, very detailed.
What if the two people that live there would talk to us and tell us what they know?
Well, the two people that live there, there's like a little video clip that somebody had interviewed them. And I mean, the guy didn't, he's like, oh, I've heard there's ghosts. I don't know. It's been peaceful for us. And that's really all he had to say about it. But I think the people who live there, it's been passed down to them. It's generationally their home.
So when we go there, you know, it has to be daytime.
So we don't get shot.
So we don't get shot. And also because nighttime is scary with haunted ghost places.
Yeah, it is. So wait, you don't want to go at night or you do?
I do not.
Oh, you do not.
I would like to go in the daytime, early daytime, in case have a mishap so that we can be sure to get out of town well before nightfall.
People who have gone there have gone in the daytime, and that's when they report seeing the shadowy figures. So we'll see.
I think daytime ghosts would be really freaky because it's rare.
Yeah,
you don't see daytime ghosts
a lot. And that's what people report. And the theory goes that it's because there were so many deaths without justice that it's the ghosts trying to like communicate what happened to them.
Why are they associated with the schoolhouse?
Well, the schoolhouse is one of the only remaining buildings because of the fires is all. And so a lot of it, too, people said that with the fires burning out all records, it kind of destroyed the ability for the ghosts or spirits to be recognized in a formal way because it all just burned. And
so they're all communing at the schoolhouse because they have no other shelter?
Again, most of them, like some said it was at the schoolhouse. Most of the ones I read were like it was at the hillside of where they found the body of the boy.
That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, the schoolhouse, I guess, is maybe if they're just trying to go where the tourists are to communicate with them, that's where the tourists go.
Hmm.
Convenience, perhaps. But apparently people leave trinkets in there as like little favors.
I'm going to be freaking the fuck out, just so you know.
Are you excited, though? I'm already
feeling like I don't know if I'm going to go in. We'll have to see. I may wait in the car. I may start leaving while Macy is in the place. We'll see how it goes.
It looks pretty cool. Like the inside.
I may call you from a gas station and apologize for leaving you there.
We are literally on a podcast called Deeply Disturbing Things. You have to go with me. You kidnapped me and took me somewhere. You have to go with me.
I may be
at
like,
least you have some warning.
I'm at the Starbucks. I'm sorry. I had to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure we have to take some like gravel road to get like off into the town. It'll be fun.
Yeah, sounds fun.
It sounds fun.
Sounds super fun. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn. That's all I got.
I accidentally turned my laptop off, so I have to like start all over here.
Oh, good. Are you going to entertain us in the meantime?
I think we're good here. All right, so my topic, what's exciting about my topic, and I'm going to try to make the font 900 so that I don't have to wear my glasses. So let's see. This was one of those delightful occasions when I started looking for a topic and I started going down one road and then it led to another road. And then I decided that was my topic. But like I may go back to the other road.
I like those twisty.
Yeah.
Ones are fun.
Where it's like, where I'm like, okay, this will be my topic. And then a minute later, I'm like, no, this is my topic. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're looking very goldenrod tonight.
Do I?
Head to toe.
Thanks. It's my top matches my head.
Yes, your top matches your head. I'm going to talk about the doomsday clock. Do you know of this? Who are you talking to? Why are you ignoring me?
Sorry, I was trying to respond. I can't do it fast enough. Our outing will be to a haunted ghost town in Washington.
You're not talking to me, and I feel sad and hurt right now.
That's why I just had to build the closure. And so then I could say, is the doomsday clock when like all the bad things are supposed to happen in the world?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the doomsday clock. And it was really interesting to look into this. And I have a lot, because of this, I have a lot of future topics to build those connections that we like. Because everything's connected, as we've established.
So doomsday clock, does this include things like, is this biblical too? Or is it just like global warming and...
What do you mean biblical?
The Russians... Cold War stuff. Like,
is this some kind of God clock? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean like biblical, like, I don't know. Like people
like,
who
is
think
it a judgment day clock?
Yeah.
No, not this. I mean, it could be loosely connected, but not directly connected. So this is a picture of what it looks like.
That is the most not how I'd picture a doomsday clock to look.
It's a quarter clock.
Join us
clock.
On Facebook and she'll post that for you.
Yes,
it's
join us.
It's a quarter of a clock and
it's a quarter clock.
White with just black dots.
This was designed by artist Martel Langsdorff. So a group called the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists set the clock to show how much time we have before midnight. Midnight being time's up. Originally, this meant nuclear Armageddon and the end of humanity.
Okay.
This group meets regularly and adjusts the clock based on current threat levels.
I was going to say, where are we now? I feel like you should say that at the beginning.
No, that's at the end.
No.
We are at threat level midnight.
End before. What if this podcast goes too long again? We miss it.
Shout out, Michael Scott. Okay. The minute hand can move closer and it can go further away. So it's not a linear process and not like it just tick, 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 like the 60 minutes and then you're done. So
it means nothing in the sense of time.
So it's not linear. And so they meet regularly. They can adjust it closer or further away depending on what's going on in the world. When it was first set, Martel put the hands at 7 minutes to midnight because she said it just looked right. So that's where it started.
Got it.
And now the clock looks at three threats. So originally it looked at nuclear Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And now it looks at nuclear weapons, climate change, and disruptive technologies.
Is that like AI?
AI is one of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they've adapted, you know, according to the world we live in. And in 2017... they noted Donald Trump was part of the reason for the clock moving that year to 2 minutes to midnight.
Dang. Like him just in general? Or
him as a president of the U.S. Okay. And that was only the second time that the clock had been moved closer to midnight because of a U.S. president.
Who was the first one?
I think it was Nixon.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. The doomsday clock first showed up as a graphic in 1947 on the cover of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists magazine.
I feel really anxious that you're not telling me when it is now.
It's still, I gotta keep you hooked.
I don't like it.
I don't want you to be like, eh, whatever. Okay, now I know. And then,
wait, you
know,
are you telling me we're safe?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, listen up, listen in. Join me. Jump in. Dive in.
She drink your beer. Thanks. Take your sweet time about it. Apparently it's non-linear, so who gives a fuck?
So this magazine was created to warn the world about the disastrous possibility of their creations. So think about that year, 1947.
Okay.
And what their disastrous creations had been.
What, in 1947?
Mm-hmm. What was going on in the world at that time? This is a history lesson right now?
Is this
a quiz?
The Hiroshima?
Yes, thank you.
Bam.
Okay. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists was founded in 1945 by Albert Einstein and University of Chicago scientist who had helped develop the first atomic weapons in the Manhattan Project. So them founding this was similar to Alfred Nobel developing the Nobel Prize because he felt very guilty about having invented dynamite, which was later used as a military weapon. And so he put his millions and millions and millions into this Nobel Peace Prize Fund, which is still being used today.
I didn't know that. So the Nobel Peace Prize is guilty,
guilt money.
Guilty conscience from dynamite.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so he had lots of millions. And so he set up this fund to award peace prizes in lots of different categories. And we're still doing it today. So that's really cool. So the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists created the Doomsday Clock 2 years later using this imagery of the apocalypse, which is midnight, and the countdown of a nuclear explosion. So that's like the countdown. So they combine that to make this Doomsday Clock. And the Doomsday Clock is set every year. They meet up and they have their board of sponsors that decides, should the clock stay the same? Should it be moved further away from midnight? Should it be moved closer?
Who's all on this board of sponsors?
It
How do I become a member?
13 Nobel laureates.
Not me.
Yeah. Sorry. So it's like science-y people. In August of 1939, think about World War II time-ish, how that relates. Albert Einstein sent a letter to President FDR, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and advised him that the process of nuclear fission could potentially be used to create a powerful atomic bomb. This letter, often called the Einstein-Szilard letter,
just like that?
Well, it's an S-Z together. I don't really know how you pronounce that. It's S-Z-I-L-A-R-D. It's physicist Leo Szilard.
This is why we're not invited to the board.
This is why we are not on the board of sponsors, because we don't know how to pronounce an S and a Z in a row.
This is why we have to do our own podcast.
we're just creating our own magazine.
Make
of
whatever
something.
Sounds we want.
That's right. So this was written by Einstein, and I'm going to call him Leo, in an attempt to warn the president that Nazi Germany may be working on a fission bomb and recommending that the U.S. should begin work immediately on their own nuclear weapons research. So it was in an attempt to gain a foothold in the war. So the letter reads in part, quote, "A single bomb of this type carried by boat and exploded in a port might very well destroy the whole port together with some of the surrounding territory." So that's an underestimate of the destruction of an atomic bomb. This letter would prompt Roosevelt to organize research into what would later become the Manhattan Project.
I was just thinking of the blue guy from that one movie. What's it called?
Arrested Development?
No, like the superhero movie and the man.
Oh, Mr. yes, Manhattan. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, the Doomsday Clock is part of The Watchmen.
Yes, The Watchmen.
That's what you're thinking, The Watchmen. Yeah. What was that guy's name? The big blue guy with
Isn't it Dr. Manhattan?
Is it Dr. Manhattan?
I think he's just
Dr. Manhattan. He's always naked.
But the blue wiener. He's, in all fairness, he's completely blue, as is his wiener.
Yes. Yes. It is. Einstein would later come to regret the letter. that they sent to the president, and he said, "Had I known that the Germans would not succeed in producing an atomic bomb, I would have never lifted a finger." So he felt guilty. He blamed himself for spurring or initiating or causing the spark.
Is there a peace prize named after him too?
No, but that was part of why they developed this group.
Okay.
Bulletin of Atomic Scientists.
So there was a guilty.
Yes, one. Yes.
Okay.
So World War II.
It's a big one.
I'm not going to have that as my topic right now. I could see your panicked eyes. You're like, okay, we got cut off at 2 hours on Tiger King. Now she's going into World War II. No, I'm just going to, it ties in just a little bit here.
I think you have to go first every time now. That way you feel the pressure of me having to go next. I ended at a crisp, like, 24 minutes.
No, I edited this down. Don't worry.
Okay.
May 7th, 1945, Germany surrendered to the Allied forces. So these are some relevant timelines to the Doomsday Clock. July 16th, 1945, the world's first nuclear weapon is detonated in the desert near Los Alamos, New Mexico. It was called the Trinity Test. But prior to this test, nobody involved actually knew what was going to happen.
Well, and yeah.
It had never been done before.
They had only done lab tests, but you can only make that so powerful within a lab.
You can't set off an atomic bomb in a lab. Mm-hmm. So they had no idea. They didn't know if it was going to be a dud or if it was going to be this devastating weapon. So the Los Alamos physicists, they started a bet about what would happen, you know, how much power of TNT it would have. And so one of the fellas, Enrico Fermi, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1938, put his odds on the bomb would destroy all life on the planet. So that just shows how extreme their lack of knowledge about what would happen would be. Yeah, like it could make a little 3-foot hole in the ground or the end of all humanity. And they're just going out to the desert to just test this thing. Like it could have destroyed the entire world. They didn't know.
Thanks.
Yeah. And so here's that image.
I should have sent out a survey monkey.
It's like the iconic mushroom cloud image.
Yeah, that looks dangerous.
And that had never, you know, happened before. And people could feel the heat and like the impact just far, far away. So the next day, Manhattan Project scientist Leo wrote a petition to then President Harry S. Truman, and it was signed by 70 Manhattan Project scientists, and they were begging him to refrain from using the atomic bomb because they had witnessed the power of it. So that's July 17th. July 29th, Japan rejected the terms of surrender given by the US, Great Britain, and China. So shortly after, on August 6th and 9th, the bombs named Little Boy and Fat Man were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. 140,000 residents were killed in Hiroshima and 74,000 died in Nagasaki. The next month, on September 2nd, Japan formally surrendered to the Allies, and it was the end of World War II. So I read about a lot of the people's thoughts about this that were involved, and there was one thought that I thought was really interesting, and it was that we should have been more transparent to Japan about the atomic bomb and exactly what it was
prior to doing it.
Yes. Yeah. So they would have had
just surrendered,
a better chance of surrender, because yes, they refused, but maybe if they had known like actually how destructive this thing was, that loss of life could have been avoided.
To be fair, it sounds like we didn't really know, the U.S. didn't really know how destructive it would have been, but they could
right, but there was a period of time between mm-hmm. when we tested it mid-July and when we dropped it in the beginning of August that I think we could have
estimated, and so at least, yeah.
We did give them terms of surrender in between there that they rejected, but those involved said that we didn't do a good enough job of really explaining about what the atomic bomb meant.
Well, it was new. Yeah. It wasn't just a bomb.
Right. Like, we could have done a better job of really saying what the impact would be. Mm-hmm. So those involved in the development and testing of the atomic bomb technology were terrified for the future of humanity because they just worked to develop this thing. They begged the president not to use it. It was used. It killed mass casualties. And so here's a quote from Einstein in the 1948 Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. He said, "We scientists believe that we and our fellow man do what we or our fellow man do or fail to do within the next few years will determine the fate of our civilization. We consider it our task to help people realize all that is at stake." So that was the purpose of this magazine that they developed, to really put it out there, what's going on. Okay. I'm going to share a few of the time clock shifts.
Okay.
Okay.
So what time was it at that point?
Well, it was initially set at 7 minutes to midnight. That was an arbitrary thing. It really meant nothing.
It just looked pretty. But,
well, I don't know if it was just aesthetics why she chose it. I think it might have been a mood also because of what was going on in the world. So I think that it felt right, may have been because of all that was going on with what had just happened with mm-hmm. dropping the bombs. So I think that was why it started at a fairly close place to midnight. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like
feeling cozy. It wasn't at that like. Point.
Yeah, like 6:05 or something.
Fair.
So in 1949, the arms race is on. And so it's moved closer. It's 3 minutes to midnight. And so what's going on is the Soviet Union explodes a nuclear device, the design of which is similar to that the bomb that the U.S. had used in Japan 4 years earlier. The Soviets deny the test, but President Truman shares the news with the American public about it, and the arms race begins. The bulletin explains, "We do not advise Americans that doomsday is near and that they can expect atomic bombs to start falling on their heads a month or a year from now, but we think they have reason to be deeply alarmed and to be prepared for grave decisions." And then in 1953...
So this is kind of their way of informing the masses of the actual dangers that are yes, going on.
Okay. With the hope of action. That people will...
I don't think that happened.
No. I mean, that's the sad thing when you hear... I mean, I'm starting in the 40s. We're now, and things just... People don't learn from history. And people don't take action when they need to.
Some people. Good job to those who have.
What have I really done? I use reusable bags at the grocery store. Is that enough?
No.
It's not.
It's not. But you still do more than most.
I used to be a really good recycler. I don't even recycle hardly anymore because, you know, they cut our recycling in half in Spokane.
Really?
They're only coming every 2 weeks now.
Oh, is that why my garbage is not getting picked up?
Yeah. So I'm like, well, if this recycling is out the door, when am I supposed to just pile it up in the yard?
I'm like, I swear that they hadn't come last week.
No, it's every other week now.
Oh, well, okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For my garbage update.
I do what I can. So where are we? 1953.
Yeah, bombs.
The U.S. decides to pursue the hydrogen bomb. So this is a weapon far more powerful than the atomic bomb. It was called the H-bomb.
For hydrogen.
And the U.S. tests their first thermonuclear device, and they completely obliterate an island in the Pacific Ocean.
That sucks. I could have lived on that island if I really, you know.
What a waste.
Like, motivated myself.
9 months later, the Soviets test an H-bomb of their own. And the bulletin writes, only a few more swings of the pendulum, and from Moscow to Chicago, atomic explosions will strike midnight for Western civilization.
And to be fair, when this did develop, but like with the Cold War stuff, it was a lot of, there was a lot of fear kind of tactics being used in general with the people. Like I was thinking of like the, like everyone doing the, like under your desk for, you know, to not have a bomb drop on your head drills over and over again. And there was a, I don't know, there was a lot of fear in general in that time period.
Well, I mean, this
was saying like rightfully so.
Yeah.
And if it was us, then we'd be scared too. You'd be scared shitless.
Yeah, the threat of nuclear war was real.
I wouldn't be able to get you up from under your desk.
Well, I was raised in California, so we did the earthquake drill, so I'm good. Duck and cover.
But like, what is that going to do if an atomic bomb drops? You are not going to be saved by your desk. Not going to help.
Well, that was when people would build their own bomb shelters, which you have to have 6 foot thick concrete walls. I would love my own bomb shelter personally.
You
may come over one day and I'm like, look what I'm building in the basement.
We turned my son's room into a bomb shelter.
Hey, I have a whole other side of the basement.
I know you do. I know. You're probably making plans already.
No, I've been making plans for years. Also, I probably shouldn't say all good. I don't want to be on an FBI watch list.
God.
I won't complete that sentence.
Just invite me over. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm that person that won't do it, but will totally get in
I'll
there.
I'll give you the code word.
Thank you. I already know the password to your house.
Perfect. All right. 1968. Okay. The clock has moved to 7 minutes to midnight. So in between, I'm not doing every clock change. There's been lots of back and forth.
Thank you.
So here's when the Eastern world explodes. The U.S. is involved in Vietnam. India and Pakistan battle over Kashmir. Israel and neighbors renew hostilities. France and China develop nuclear weapons. I was like, France? They have nuclear weapons? And baguettes?
And baguettes.
The bulletin recognizes the possibility that these regional conflicts could flare into wider wars. So that was why it went from 7 to midnight. Before that, it had been 12 minutes to midnight. In 1972, after more than 20 years vying for arms, the U.S. and the Soviet Union signed two treaties that attempt to curb the race for nuclear superiority. And the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, or SALT, limits the number of ballistic missiles launchers that either country can possess. The Anti-Ballistic Missile, or the ABM Treaty, seeks to stop a race for weapons designed to shoot down adversaries' incoming nuclear weapons. So each country still has thousands of warheads pointed at each other. And the U.S. eventually withdraws from the ABM treaty. Which I can kind of see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would want to have the technology to shoot down something that's coming at me if the other country, you know, decided to change their mind. But what's ridiculous is, already, each country has more than enough weapons to completely obliterate each other.
That's so scary. Just everybody's and just waiting.
Waiting. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. 1981, the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in 1979 and the 1980 election of Ronald Reagan both served to harden the U.S. nuclear posture. So now we're moving to 4 minutes to midnight. Before leaving office, President Jimmy Carter pulls the U.S. from the 1980 Olympic Games that were going to be held in Moscow and considers ways the U.S. can win rather than avert nuclear war. And then Reagan comes in, Ronnie Reagan, pow, 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 proposes the best way to end the Cold War is for the U.S. to win. So Ronnie Reagan,
Reagan.
He's the first president that me as like a developing human being was like conscious of like being a president, you know? Oh, that's from the Robbery Mart. Are you going to check one out?
White Claw. This is...
They didn't have any canned wine, so I got that.
You do know that this is will be made fun of for this.
I was at the Robbery Mart. I had to make do.
Were you rushing? Were you like...
No, I took a long time.
I don't know how to open this box.
I had a lot of comments by a tweaker. Yes.
What did he say?
I'd hold the door open for you, but it's already open. And then it just continued from there. So,
of course that happened. And of course, you like it was so just normal for your
normal.
Neighborhood. That
yeah,
you didn't even
it's so
me.
Normal. No, I didn't even like.
Here, do you want a cold?
I didn't
cold
even
white
like
claw?
Turn my head or
a cold black cherry white claw. This sounds delicious.
The shape of this can is concerning to me.
Why?
I don't know. Just culturally.
Because
I think there's connotations.
Do you? Yeah, it's. I can't. My dad's listening. I just can't. Keep talking. Go.
So Ronnie Reagan.
Reagan. Go ahead.
So I'm. This is when I'm first like developing consciousness about like politics that I care about. I was like entering my punk rock phase, which a lot of the artists, you know, were speaking out loudly against.
I can't open.
Ronnie Reagan and, you know, a lot of that stuff. So why couldn't you open that?
I broke my flimsy fingernail.
Look at these big roller derby hands. I didn't even flinch.
Huge hands.
I do have big hands. It's fine. Big hands, I know you're the one.
It's you.
I know. It's a lot of us.
Probably a long jacket.
I do have a long jacket and a short skirt. 1984, so Naomi was 13. Is it gross?
It's kind of gross. Here, try.
No, I think you just try have mine. To drink a lot of it.
We just have to drink more.
Yeah,
try it.
It gets better.
Does it?
I've never had this before. I don't think it's bad. Tastes like a Jolly Rancher.
Like that's been on the floor and already sucked on.
That's kind. Is it not?
It's not.
What's your favorite flavor of Jolly Rancher?
Watermelon.
Oh, I like green apple.
Oh. I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
Okay, what's...
Green apple's okay.
What's your least favorite flavor? I think we can agree on this probably.
Grape.
Grape. Yes, I knew it. You know how I know this? Because we both worked at the same high school and we had a bin of Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, that's true.
And that would be the last color always. Like you'd have like seven grapes. Yeah, and it's like, well, what the fuck do I do with these?
I would intentionally pick out my favorites before the teens had at it. And then they would take the, you know, second and third tier. And then grape would be left.
See, what you can do with those is make a purple drink.
I've never
with
done
like
that
codeine cough syrup. But
that's what this tastes like.
Put it in.
Like some.
Yeah.
I don't like black cherry flavored.
That's like.
This is cough syrup flavor.
Yeah. I never had this before. I can't be blamed.
I didn't allow my father to give me liquid syrups for a long time for medicine because I hated the flavor. He'd had chewable or swallowable. That's it.
Swallowable?
Swallowable pills.
Whatever the fuck that means. Okay.
Go
Can
on.
I get back to nuclear war, yeah, please?
Sure. I don't know. This is fun.
1984. Naomi is 13. She's having her bat mitzvah.
Sorry, that's not funny. Okay, go on.
No, we'll continue. What were you going to say?
No, nothing. Go on.
Do you have a bat mitzvah question?
No, I was going to say, were there gold, or not goldfish, beta fish at your bat mitzvah? You had beta fish at your son's bat mitzvah.
I know.
And that was cool. I got to take a beta fish home as a like bat mitzvah guest gift.
Okay. So
it was great.
Here's your first.
Everybody was drinking. It was the best religious service I've ever attended.
Here's your first lesson. Bar mitzvah is for boys. That's bar what mitzvah. My boys have.
Is there an actual R in there?
Yes. Okay. Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Bat mitzvahs are for girls. Bat. That was developed later to like throw the girls a bone because they felt left out. I think it probably didn't even start till like the late 60s.
Because it
probably.
Didn't really matter.
Well, because, you know, there's all these gender things. but, you know, gender equality is almost there.
So
I would
you
say.
Didn't get a fish.
Well, I would say all that showiness wasn't a part of my lifestyle because we were really poor.
Okay. You were the,
we had a
the
bare
grape,
bones
grape Jolly Rancher experience of.
There were no gifts for people. For my boys, they each had the fish that you could take home. It was a centerpiece. It was a live fish this was my idea. I mean, it wasn't totally original. Other people have done it. But for Skylar, we did goldfish. And I learned my lesson because they all died almost immediately.
Oh, God.
Some before the dinner was over. And so for Asher, I'm like, you know what? We got to level up.
And betas.
I'm going to get betas. So I went to Northwest Seed and Pet. I bought every beta fish they owned.
I had that fish.
And that was
for 2 years. His name was Deadpool. He was pretty cool.
Mine was Orangey. I had Orangey forever. He was amazing until my cat ate him and left an orange skin on my bedroom floor after my cat slurped out the goodness. I'm glad you're finding amusement in my pain.
Okay, where are
we? We're at 1984.
We're still really far away from right now.
No, I skip a lot of years. I've gone already from the 40s to the 80s. Give me some credit.
It feels like forever.
1984, 3 minutes to midnight. Just a second.
I'll trade you your warm wine for this white cloth.
No. Coveting my wine over here. Okay.
Okay.
U.S.-Soviet relations reached their iciest point in decades. And communication virtually stops. So the U.S. threatens to provide a new arms race by seeking a space-based anti-ballistic missile system. So this was Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Not an original name. It had already been used.
Yeah,
in a major motion picture franchise, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Whatever. So that was 3 minutes to midnight. 1990, 10 minutes to midnight. Why is that?
Why is that? Tell me more.
Because the Berlin Wall fell in 1989.
Okay, okay.
Tear down the wall. Tear down the wall. Oh, wait, is that Pink Floyd? I think I'm mixing up things.
They both had a wall?
They both had walls. Damn it, I'm so ashamed right now. 1989, that was the year I graduated from alternative high school.
Congratulations. That certificate matters too.
It was a diploma, actually. I got a real diploma.
I have to say, I really love how the alternative school works. Like all of it in general.
Well,
I
graduated from Fremont Adult School. Shout out. If you went there, you know what I mean. This was a school where a lot of people went. You'd have your pregnant teens. You had your like druggy teens. You had your people that just didn't want to go to high school but wanted a diploma and wanted a flexible schedule. You had people that just came to the country and needed English second language support. It was such a really cool hodgepodge of people going to the school. I was there because I got expelled from high school.
Clearly in that same Ramones t-shirt. Sorry, ramens.
This is the ramens. Hello. Excuse me.
Okay, we can do it.
Oh, cheers. You're not going to leave me hanging this time?
The last podcast, I was editing the video, and there's a portion where she goes to, like, cheers me, and I just straight up ignore her. It's like that moment when you try to like high, like wave at somebody, and then you notice that like
they were waving at someone behind you.
You just slowly put your hand down.
I leave mine up. I pretend I wasn't even waving at you anyway. I was waving at that person behind you.
You held your cup up for like a while just to like almost like I meant my cup to be up in this awkward position. Then slowly I'm going to just drink it.
I just played it off. I don't even remember that, but that's enjoyable.
It's a funny moment.
So 1989, so this symbolically ended the Cold War.
Is a year after I was born, symbolically.
This was my graduation year. Just before midnight, the border guards began to allow people to pour.
You could have babysat me. You would have been like one of those bad babysitters that I've seen in movies.
I was not a great babysitter.
We've been over that, yeah.
I did a lot of babysitting, though.
Never buy these again.
I won't ever. I didn't know.
This is the worst. It's like drinking sparkling.
You didn't see my choices. Those were actually really good choices. There's a lot of canned cocktail choices, which I just started, like canned syrup. Bloody Marys.
No.
And, I mean, they had a lot of choices, but it was like one row for each thing.
I could tell you wanted out quickly.
Well, I know I stayed there for a while, but they had no like canned wine at all. It was canned cocktails, canned whatever these are, hard seltzers. There's a lot of malt liquor. There was MD 2020. A lot of pints of
meth.
Hard liquor. Pint of meth. I don't know what that looks like. So the border guards began to allow people to pour in from one side to the other. And so East and West Berliners were allowed to like reunite with family members they'd been cut off from since World War II. It was like an amazing, like joyous moment. I remember watching videos of people like partying on the wall. It was like super punk. I loved it. So here's a picture from that time. I mean, they were just tearing it down and the guards were just letting them. Mm-hmm. Is really fucking cool. All right, 1991. How old were you then?
I don't know, math.
This was the year I moved to this part of the country.
I was born in 88, whatever that equals.
17 minutes to midnight. So this was the farthest away. It was 17 minutes. The Cold War is officially over. President Bush and President Gorbachev signed the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START, that greatly reduces the number of strategic nuclear weapons deployed by the two countries.
Can you give a quick moment of what your topic is overall, real quick?
The Doomsday Clock.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. That wasn't for me.
Now, here's just my little take on this. Like, I get you're signing a treaty and it's supposed to be like, you're being truthful, but I don't know if I would like.
If you would be truthful
if I don't really trust the other side.
This
I'd
is
be
why
like,
I don't trust people is because my best friend sitting in the chair over there looking at me with sneaky eyes.
I mean, this takes complete trust that the other side is going to do what they say.
Well, yeah,
I'd be like, are they going to really be doing what they say? Because if not,
well, they're probably not.
I'm not going to like do this.
But then it's, you know, both sides not trusting each other and then deciding to, you know, blow each other up.
So supposedly, as a result of the START treaty, most of the missiles and bombers are taken off the hair trigger alert that they've been on for years, where it's just like, you know, like those movies, like boom, one button. Boom.
Is there one button? Is that an actual thing? Like there's a red button that says kill everybody.
I don't know, but in all the movies I've seen, the red button takes two people.
I've seen that too. I've seen sometimes where it takes like four people and they have to like have all the people.
A quad button situation. That'd be a lot of cooperation.
There might have been aliens in that movie. I'm not.
I mean, if you have tentacles, then that's easier. That's
forearms.
There you go. I know. Yep. Okay. This is why you need to watch the video.
If I ever post it.
If that ever gets posted. 2007.
Recent life.
North Korea rising.
True.
Kim.
I felt a lot of anxiety around that time.
Sean.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. North Korea.
I think he goes by that formally. King John. Fucking crazy.
North Korea conducts a nuclear test. And many in the international community worry that Iran is working toward a bomb of its own. So we're at 5 minutes to midnight now. Meanwhile, the U.S. and Russia are still within minutes of waging complete nuclear war. 2015, we're at 3 minutes to midnight. Earth endures its hottest year on record. The U.S. and Russia launch massive programs to modernize their nuclear triads, which undermine all the treaties that have already been set.
Because nobody gives a F. Nobody.
The world demonstrates their lack of readiness in addressing the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, foreshadowing AI mm-hmm. or artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And cyber attacks emerged as further potential threats to international stability. And biotechnology becomes an added category of threat. Because of the failures of political leadership that endanger every person on Earth, that's why they moved it to 3 minutes to midnight. Okay, I'm going to open up my grossness. I don't think it's that bad. It's just not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
2017, we're at 2.5 minutes to midnight. So this reflects the persistence of world threats and apprehension about Trump's defiance of scientific truths.
Uh-oh.
New global North Korea conducted its fourth and fifth underground nuclear tests. Global carbon dioxide emissions were flat, but have not decreased as the world continues to warm. Advances in synthetic biology, like the CRISPR gene editing tools, have both a great positive potential and a dark side, because you can manipulate DNA that affects future generations.
Like eugenics type stuff.
It's very, very powerful. Mm. So you are basically editing genomes.
I have to say that I went when I was 21, my aunt Kim took me to Alaska for my birthday on a cruise, and I got to see a glacier.
Did you see the blue ice?
There was a lot of ice.
Did you see the blue ice? Why are you making that face?
I feel like I have to just say yes to that.
Well, you wouldn't remember blue ice. It's very blue.
Sure. Sometimes it was blue.
I'm not a cruise person. I've never been on one. But I would like to see that blue ice. And if going on a cruise is the only way to see that blue ice, I might consider it.
It was really worth it, just saying. Being able to like sit on the balcony and like watch glaciers just go by and like mountain goats on the glacier. It was really cool.
Oh, mountain goats.
Mountain goats. Anyways, but this big glacier that's really iconic, whatever. It's already like receded tons. And probably if I ever go there again, it'll just be gone. Mm. It's sad. So I'm glad that I did get to see it in my lifetime. But, you know, we're killing everything.
This is not good.
I told you, like, it doesn't get better.
It's not getting better. I expected it to get better.
It actually gets worse.
Because sometimes, like, not great wine gets better. You're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, no, I've done that before.
Yeah.
This is just, like, it gets flatter and suckier.
Suckier, yes. 2018, we're at 2 minutes to midnight.
Dos de minutos.
The warning of the Science and Security Board now sends is clear. The danger obvious and imminent. So this is the closest the hands of the clock have been since 1953, when the U.S. and the Soviet Union detonated their first hydrogen bombs. So this year, North Korea tested its own H-bomb. International diplomacy was reduced to name-calling. U.S.-Russian relations featured more conflict than cooperation. Greenhouse gas emissions rose. The Iran deal was imperative. And so the bulletin wrote, the opportunity to reduce the danger is equally clear. Citizens around the world can insist on facts and discount nonsense. They can demand action to reduce the existential threat of nuclear war and unchecked climate change. They can seek the opportunity to make a safer and saner world. So this is all about trying to spur people and inspire people to action. Mm-hmm. To
like do
make
something.
Changes. Yes. Mm-hmm. In
it's not over
politically. Yet. I mean, yeah. That's what it's all about. It's making these political changes.
And I do think we have such a passive environment as far as politics go in the US for the average citizen. Passive.
Well, I think in this last year, protests have increased, which have led to change. So that was really exciting to see that, we can have a voice and make a difference. But it really takes people not being complacent. You have to get up off your ass and do something. Mm-hmm. So the Einstein Manifesto of 1955, which sounds super fucking cool, and I wish I had my own manifesto.
Like your Naomi manifesto.
I need a Naomi manifesto. I really do.
Naomi manifesto.
He said, we appeal as human beings to human beings. Remember your humanity and forget the rest. It's important to remember what the clock is really meant to show so we can turn back time. So
turn
you wanted to
back
know.
Time.
I love that song. You want to know what the time is now?
I do. I wanted to know an hour ago. Tell me. Just kidding. It was only like half an hour ago.
It is 100 seconds to midnight.
Oh, what? 100 seconds?
This is the closest it's ever been. Here's the press release from January 27th, 2021.
So much anxiety.
So this is the press release just from a few months ago from the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, founded by Einstein and others that worked on the Manhattan Project, so the best and brightest of their day. This is your COVID-19 wake-up call. It is 100 seconds to midnight. Ineffectual response to pandemic seen as evidence of government, institutions, and public lack of readiness to deal with threats of nuclear weapons and climate change. This is their presser. The COVID-19 pandemic will end up killing well over 2 million people around the globe. The mishandling of this grave global health crisis is a wake-up call that governments, institutions, and a misled public remain unprepared to handle the even greater threats posed by nuclear war and climate change. Given this and the lack of progress in 2020 in dealing with nuclear and climate perils, the doomsday clock remains as close to midnight as it has ever been.
How many seconds? 100?
Just 100 seconds to midnight.
So that's over a minute.
The thing to remember, though, remember it's not linear. We can turn back time, but we have to do things. We have to take action. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole COVID-19 thing, like, they have a point. I mean, look what's happening in fucking India right now.
Oh, that's been horrible.
Why did we take so long to say that we're going to give aid? Like, we have so much supplies that we could give. Mm-hmm. And if that was us, I would want other countries to give aid to us.
Well, India gave us aid initially. So they sent aid when we were struggling in our hospitals.
Yeah, I just don't understand why it's hesitating. Like, I don't even think it's arrived yet.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just announced that it was going. We're sending them. It was AstraZeneca.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been on a plane immediately, all those doses.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we have them. We have those. And we have extra. I literally have places around here that are like calling people saying, hey, do you need one? We have extra. We can't let it go. Yeah. It'll go bad.
It just makes me really sad. Like, I don't like an overly, like, what do you call it? Like the opposite of a global mind view where you're just like so nationalist, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like where you just leave your fellow like humans to suffer when you can help. Like I want the US to be that country that helps all the other countries. Like that to me is a show of power. Oh, absolutely. That's something that I would like can be proud of. Like
it's like a leverage too. Like, look, we can
go help people. We have all these resources. Like if we're not doing that, I think that's super fucked up. And I know we've pledged our support, but like the delay in it when I feel a sense of urgency is very distressing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been really bad there since the new year, because they had a lot of, they had kind of a natural decline, and then the new year hit, and then they were celebrating. There was a lot of political and religious celebrations where nobody was wearing masks, and then there's this natural uptick.
Well, and they have a variant as well.
The variant that may be
more contagious.
Yeah, so the numbers are skyrocketing.
No, it's ridiculous.
Really bad, really scary.
Here's the graph.
100 seconds
for today. Look at that.
From midnight. That's scary.
Up to the
top. Oh, God. That's so bad. So it's literally the worst it's ever been.
New cases, 379,000 over that. Yeah, mm-hmm, no, it's mm-hmm. completely skyrocketed, the worst that it's ever been. And they say the deaths may be underreported as well. So there's the deaths ones to say.
Yeah.
I mean, the cases and death graphs usually mirror each other, just like with a little delay.
Well, and unfortunately, it's kind of like when people, so we know like the counseling world, when people start taking medications and then it starts working, then they stop taking their medications because they feel better. And it's that same sort of phenomenon that's happening, is that like, oh, the numbers are down, so we cannot worry and not be safe about things. But then what do you see in 2 weeks from that point is the uptick in numbers. So vaccinations are so important, but we have to have at least 70%, something around there.
For the herd thing?
Yeah, for herd immunity. Where like the few people who can't or choose not to
Well, they need oxygen. Let's share our air.
Well, anything else?
No.
What's your until next time?
We brought our Robert Smith votive candle, but I couldn't light it because I didn't have a long enough match, but it's back there.
You made the office smell like burning.
I know. Macy's like, is there a fire? I'm like, no, everything's fine. Don't worry.
All right. Until next time. You know, I kind of see a common thread just to so with the safe in my topic that had to be opened by the wife, it's kind of like the doomsday layer, not the doomsday, but the the nuclear button that has to have multiple people press it in order to get access to it. All right, so my until next time is make sure that you have at least three people on your nuclear war button access. Yeah, and maybe don't have it where you live in case somebody wants to come and kill you with an axe. That was a lengthy one, but I feel like it's a PSA as well.
No, that's good. I like a PSA.
Yeah, carry a big stick with you so you can hit them.
Yeah, like that fucking badass 70-something-year-old Chinese woman.
60-year-old woman.
She was in her 70s.
No, he was 76. She was 60.
Oh, no, I was talking about a different story.
Oh, what story are you talking about?
The Asian senior lady in San Francisco that
Why would people somebody, just randomly know about that? You didn't talk about
because
it.
Because she had a fucking stick and she beat the shit out of her attacker and he went to the ambulance.
Well, that's good. My topic from today also had the 60-year-old lady who shattered her walking stick.
I know. I love that.
Trying to survive the axe murder.
So. I'm getting my own stick. I'm going to start carrying it around.
Okay. Until next time, get your own beating stick.
Get your own fucking beating stick. And turn back time. Like Cher says.
Was that Cher?
I hope. Because I just said Cher.
Bye.